Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, I greet you with the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real and true peace comes only from God, and having and knowing that peace obligates the recipient to be one that gives and shares that peace. And that beautiful greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. And dear listeners, you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. And I am Quran Shakir, and it is my distinct honor and pleasure to serve as tonight's co-host, co-producer, and co-engineer. Just a reminder, dear listeners, this is a learning lab. And with that, that means we're all going to learn together. To learn, we need to have an open mind, an open heart, and we need to have something that we're going to be writing and journaling with. So we ask you to go ahead and grab a pen and pad and journey with us to write about whatever it is we're talking about. Take notes, be a part of this program, not just a listener, but be engaged. We also invite you right now, while we're making our introductions and our opening statements, go ahead and notify your family and your friends. You can notify them via text or via your social media posts. Let them know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio, and tell them they can join you by dialing 714-816-4673. If you are listening online, go ahead and join us in the studio by dialing that number, 714-8176. And now, dear listeners, as I said, I am the co-host of this program. So it is my distinct honor and pleasure to welcome to the microphone my distinct co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, I am Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday evening here on IWDM Radio. Want to say to those who may be listening for the first time, we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And we do invite you to ask questions about anything that we may say tonight on the Learning Lab or from previous Learning Labs. We invite any and all questions regarding courtship and marriage. And for those of you that perhaps may just listen in, may not have much to say, may not have a question or comment, Quran, and I also invite you to press 1. If the information that we'll be disseminating tonight is resonating with you. So at some point, if we don't get any callers, I would conduct my own, what I call, mini survey, just to see if what's being said is resonating with you. Also, we want to invite those who are listening by way of the Internet. We know we have a lot of Internet listeners. If you want to be involved in this conversation, communication on the premarital questionnaire, we do invite you to be a part of it, and you can do that by dialing 714-816-4673. 816-4673. Karan just gave you that. That is 714-816-4673. And then she said this is a good opportunity to contact family members, friends, associates, neighbors, or community members and let them know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is in session. And for any that you may think, whether they're Muslim or not Muslim, if they're very, very young, and I would say at the age of pubescence, this is where they should be listening in and getting this vital information. And, of course, those who are aspiring to be married, this would be a good time for them to listen in and get what we think is a very good tool to use to aid and assist in communication. Oftentimes, we approach this sacred institution of marriage, but we're not fully equipped. We don't know what to ask, and we don't know what it is that we should be looking for. So this segment that we have on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is very, very important as we have these categories that we're on and vital questions that should be asked. I want to say to our radio listening audience that there, that this learning lab at the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we do have a foundation, and we have three main sources that we use. I didn't say resources, but sources. That's very, very reliable. And first it is Al-Quran, and then it is the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran, actually living the revelation, the final revelation, very important. And finally, the tafsir, which I like to translate as clear, clear explanation. Commentary, oftentimes you'll hear that, and that's acceptable. But when you really think about it, anybody can give commentary on something. It may not necessarily be the best of commentary, but we know our beloved leader, Imam Warth Uddin Muhammad, was blessed by Almighty God Allah with the insight, the hikmah, the logic, not only the language of the Quran, but the logic of the Quran, and how to make those type of vital connections that would give us the right perception of who we are, how we are to relate to Almighty God Allah, and how we are to relate to each other. And, of course, that includes male-female relationships. This is very, very important that we understand that we have to have a foundation, and that the Quran, which is the word of Almighty God, is first and foremost. And then we look at Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, in demonstrating the Quran in his lifetime. And then the third leg is the tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. That is really, truly an aid and assistance to us. And so we own this premarital questionnaire. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, we actually have covered the first three categories. The first three categories, we covered personal history background. Personal history background. That's generally the first thing that you, when you are have an interest in someone, you want to know something about their personal history. You know, who are you, your personal history, and all. And there were some vital questions that was asked under that. And, of course, Karan will give you the information as to how you can obtain this tool that we have. And then last week, in Karan's absence, we had as our special guest facilitator, a good brother and my friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. And we entertained some of the questions and gave some commentary on the next, in terms of history, which is educational history background. And then after educational history background, then it was work history background. So we'll be starting tonight. We'll be starting tonight on money management. And this is really a biggie. Quran, you know, a couple of weeks ago was talking about that, how important this is in terms of, you know, in the relationship to understand in terms of how the two people manage the money. You're not operating as an individual, but it's when two becomes one. And I do know, I don't know whether it's first, second, or third, but I know it's in the top three in terms of many divorces come about because there's a disagreement in terms of money, the responsibility as to how that money will be disseminated, who would pay what or what. And so we're going to look at some of the important questions, and I'm going to let Karan decide those questions. Now, she's going to read all those questions under this particular category. And so please listen in. So if it's a question that we may not give a lot of information to, please jot it down, and you can always press 1 to ask that question. Or if the information we're giving, you'd like to get more information, or more detailed information, I should say, then we also invite the question. And if you've been married for a while and you actually haven't had any problems or issue in terms of money management and what it is that you do and you'd like to share, we do welcome your commentary. So with that being said, it's good to have you back here, Karan Shakir. And we want to turn it back to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And I'm glad you gave that brief reminder to our audience about what was covered last week. And just for all of our listening audience, we just want you to know that we are in this battle together. And this battle is to save our families and save our communities. And we know that marriage is the bedrock of community life. And with that, we know that we must be purposeful and strategic in our quest to be married and to find a mate, as it's not a plaything to us. And that's why we go over the things we cover on the program. So one of the things that we're doing right now, this premarital questionnaire is serious business to us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that when we're looking at this premarital questionnaire, and this is just so you can have a foundation as you begin the process of looking at what are these questions that I need to ask a potential mate. We looked at, like, there are foundational questions that you want to ask before you get into all the major questions. And to be really mindful that in that, the getting to know you phase, the phase when you are really engaging to see if there is something in this person that could work for me as a potential mate, and to understand that we are not looking just to date. So that, you know, to us, dating is you just want to have something to occupy your time, to have a good time. It doesn't really have an end place. It's just like a middle hanging kind of thing. But for us, it is about courtship. And in courtship, you are serious and you're looking at this person to see, is this a person that I would either marry or have a different relationship with, where that relationship may be just a friendship or just wave to them and that's it. But you make decisions in a courtship. In a dating, you don't necessarily have to because it doesn't have a destiny. So just some reminders to us. So we think that in these phases, this foundational phase, when you're getting to know someone, those are the questions we've been covering, that getting to know you phase, where you understand who that person is, what are their what do they value as a family? What do they value as far as community life goes? And do they work or not? That kind of thing. So now we're ready to get into...
You know, before we move forward, I do have to say this to those. I know we do have some new listeners. I'm aware of that. I've been notified that we do have a couple of new listeners in all. I do want to say this. Before we engage in the premarital questionnaire, we do ask that you review it in its entirety as an individual, each category, that you actually ask yourself that question. Now, what we ask also is that the prerequisites, for this in terms of getting correct information. First is sincerity. And I want to reference that by what the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said. He said, religion is sincerity. Religion is sincerity. And we can know that's truth because that really resonates in our heart. If we're truly believers, it resonates in our heart. As a believing Muslim, it resonates in our heart that religion is sincerity. We wouldn't say that religion is insincerity. Religion is sincerity. So that's the first prerequisite. The next prerequisite is honesty. Honesty. Mm-hmm. And then integrity. And when I was thinking about what the prerequisites should be, I was thinking about the model human being that modeled every thing that human being would actually need is vitally important in their life, including the sacred institution of marriage. And so we know that the Prophet Muhammad, before he became the Prophet, before he became Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, the people called him. He had been entitled with the title of As-Sadiq, El-Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. This is very, very important. So if when you're looking for a mate, those would be the two qualities, first and foremost, that you'd be looking for. You'd be looking for somebody that is truthful and trustworthy. Now, I'm not saying, and of course, you know, we're not saying that that's the only qualities that you would be looking for, but most certainly, that's a good starting point because just think about it. If that person wasn't truthful nor trustworthy, what sense would it be? And you were that, what sense would it be to entertain the idea of actually wanting to find out any more about them? You're not truthful. You're not trustworthy, you know. So that is a prerequisite. And then finally, transparency. This is very important. And I take that from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 49:12 of the Quran, avoid suspicion as much as possible. We don't want the person that it is that we would have an interest in as a potential mate to be a suspect. We want to give them their due respect, and then vice versa, because respect is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. So how is it that you avoid suspicion? As a student of Imam Muhammad, he taught us in terms of how to make connections, and Allah wants us to question what it is that he gives us in the Quran, or more meaning in terms of when you look at the ayat or the verse. You want to ask yourself the question, not that you don't believe Allah, but Allah wants you to question it. Avoid suspicion as much as possible. You know, so how is it that we avoid suspicion? By being transparent. Being transparent. So we have these four that are prerequisites before we engage in the premarital questionnaire, because at some point, Allah bless you, to find a potential mate, you understand, you have to be operating with those things that are prerequisites that you got here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. First, sincerity, and then honesty, and then integrity, and then finally, transparency. And then in the process of doing that, then as Quran mentioned earlier, you're looking for commonality. So you want to write this down. So as Quran said, you should have your notebook, you should have your ink pen, and you should be taking notes, good notes, because you're looking for the commonality. Because you're seeking to see if there can be some compatibility. Compatibility is when you're able to live and to work together with little or no conflict. But that's based on commonality. But the commonality is only true if, in fact, that you are actually utilizing sincerity, honesty, integrity, and, of course, transparency. So I just want to say, and Allah promises in the Quran that for that right one that is a soulmate, that will become your helpmate, that there will be tranquility. And this will be in accordance with the creation as Allah has established it, as he has established the sacred institution of marriage. It is to be in accordance with his natural creation. And we don't see chaos. We don't see disorder. As we look at the celestial bodies in all, Imam Muhammad say that actually what it is that we see when we look up, we see peace, we see order, and we see beauty. And that is what it is that we want to see it in the sacred institution of marriage. Allah gives us signs in his natural creation. We want to see peace, we want to see order, and we want to see beauty. I could say more Quran, but I thought I needed to say that before we get into tonight's discussion on money management. Back to you, Quran.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And I think it's also another prerequisite. Before you start looking outside, look inside. And that inside look would be to really probably do the same questionnaire on yourself. Who are you? What made you who you are? What experiences made you who you are? And then because of your experiences, what do you need to complement you? You know, not someone who will give you compliments, but to complement you in who you are and in your development. And I think that's a part of when you talk about that compatibility. You're looking for someone who will be compatible with you based on who you are and your experiences. So I think that's important to note also. Oh. All right,
thank you for saying that, because that's very, very important, because your socialization and your acculturation, you probably, if you find a commonality, you will see that the reality that you have in common, that you perhaps have been socialized and acculturated the same way in terms of the sacred institution of family life, and community life in which you grew up. So very, very important point to make, Karen. Thank you.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And since we're talking about money management, we're about to ask some important questions on money management. And what just came to my mind, dear listeners, is a challenge that we as a people commonly have. It's not everybody, but commonly we have challenges economically. And with that, sometimes we are afraid to ask people about money issues, like we avoid those money questions, thinking we may be getting too personal. But because you're looking at a potential mate and where you're going with it, it's not about just getting to know all of a person's business. It's really getting to know this information to see how it works for you. So the first question that we have under money management would be, what is your current financial condition? So that's a question you would ask. What is your current financial condition? And under that current financial condition are two things you would want to know. What is your debt load versus your assets? And what is your credit standing? Those are important because it tells something about how that person has been able to manage their funds. And even if a person has challenges with their credit standing, let's say, and they may be on the rebound, or they may be growing from that, or they have a very high credit score, that says something about what they've done as well. And then the debt load versus the assets. If you are looking at eventually marrying, when you marry, then you take on one another's debt, and you want to know where you stand. And, you know, as Brother Mark said, in the world right now, money is one of the major reasons people end marriages, end divorce. That's a part of it. It's money, money. It's the issue of money. And it's money on many levels, from spending to not having to needing and wanting and a whole lot of things that go with money. So that first question is, what is your current financial condition? And in that, what is your debt load versus your asset, and what is your credit standing?
Yes. You know, Karan, that's a very, very important question. And I like what you said initially you know, as we progress with the premarital questionnaire, it does get a little bit personal. So if you survive the first, you've survived the first three categories, you know, you didn't get dismissed or you didn't dismiss that person as a potential mate in terms of personal history background, and you didn't dismiss them in educational background, and you didn't dismiss them in work history background, because the work history and education and all, these are kind of interrelated, if you will, in that regard. And so when you meet somebody, and depending on the age and stage that you are in life, you have to take all that in consideration, because the question was asked for maybe, say, younger people. If we got younger people that are listening, maybe they're still in school. You know, Corinne, you could probably speak to it more so than myself, mm-hmm. because she's down in Atlanta. But I was aware of the couple. They actually got married, I think, in their junior year in the W.D. Muhammad High School. But they had the support of both of their families, mm-hmm. and as they finished high school, and they went on to get further education. And even before they finished their education, they actually had a child, but they actually had prioritized mm-hmm. what was going to be happening in their life, where one would go and get their degree and, I guess, begin their career, and then the other one was going to do that. And they had help and assistance from their parents. And this was something that mm-hmm. I know that our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, matter of fact, I probably have it in my file cabinet here somewhere, and perhaps if I find it, I'll have it reprinted, where Imam Muhammad was really encouraging younger marriages, because what's happening today will attest to the fact that Imam is spot on in regards to that, but it will require the help and assistance of parents if, in fact, that they deem it necessary that you go ahead and to do the right thing and go ahead and actually value the significance and importance of the sacred institution of marriage, even though you may need help and assistance when you first start. We're talking about younger people there. But for older mm-hmm. people, you have a financial situation. And as Corinne said, you know, it could be a plus or it could be a minus. Now, remember, you know, the prerequisites here, you can't try to cover it up or try to make it seem like, oh, it's not a big thing and, you know, I got it, you know, blah, 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 and everything. You just have to come straight and be honest. If you're in debt, you have to say, I'm in debt. I'm in debt almost neck debt. I'm just that deep into debt in that regard. I know that some things happen, blah, 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 or whatever. And you have to be willing to entertain the questions of that person, because that person has a right to know, you understand, in regards to your situation and all. And then there cannot be assumption. You cannot assume that, okay, because that you're in debt, that person will help you get out of debt. Those things have to be talked about. You know, Corinne, that's why about 2 or 3 weeks ago I said, no, you know, you're going to have your wali in terms of for the introduction and finding out the foundational things. But when you start talking about money, and money is one of those things that bring about division, you know, when you have to make a decision, you want to have the vision where you're able to actually see and know what's going on, and you're getting from somebody that's going to be transparent, not somebody that's going to hide this and hide that. And if perhaps they have set aside money, now we talk, that seemed like on the negative end, but on the positive end, they have saved some money. And maybe they've saved some money, you understand, anticipating, especially when it comes to the men, in terms of what it is Allah has said in the Quran, how Rajul, Kanamuna, and Nisa, that the men are supposed to be the leg, you understand, the support, but also to be the protector and the maintainer of the women. So if you're a man and you get a wife, she clearly, you understand, is entitled to have that protection, but also to have that type of maintenance, and that includes financial maintenance. That's not the only maintenance. It's a lot deeper than that, but we won't talk about that tonight because we're talking about money management. So you want to, at least a man that maybe haven't gotten to exactly where he wants to go in terms of what it is that he really have set a goal to make. Remember this, this is a gold nugget if you can use it, especially this is for brothers, making others' needs, especially yours. You know, when you make others' needs, especially yours, that becomes an incentive, to strive harder, to be more productive, to be able not only to take care of yourself, but to take care of your wife, and also family. Now, I know we're talking to different ages and stages where you are in your life. We may have some sisters, you understand, that may be in a similar situation, a circumstance, the Lady Khadija, Rahim Alayana. You know, we have older sisters in this community. It's not that they need so much a man, you understand, to support them money-wise or what. That was Khadija's situation or circumstance. Because Muhammad ibn Abdullah, we look at the whole life of the Prophet. Now, I'm not saying, I know some sisters say, well, that brother is not the Prophet, Mark Shaheed. Or the brother to say, that's not the Lady Khadija, Rahim Alayana. Okay, but you are to learn. You are to learn from that. You are to learn from that. This was by Allah's permission that marriage happened. And the marriage lasts for 25 years. He modeled monogamy. He modeled polygyny, you see. And Lady Khadija actually used her wealth. She would have been considered as a wealthy woman in this time. She used her wealth to support the Prophet in his cause. Now, the Prophet earned his money. And the Prophet made more money being the manager. And he was honest. They had a contractual agreement. Some of you may not know that, but they had a contractual agreement in terms of business. You may have a potential person that you're looking at that they're in business, and they may want you to be a business partner. You know, all of these different scenarios, this is why I say it's so important that those two people talk. You don't need a mediator to talk in terms of money management, because you're going to have different scenarios, different situations and circumstances. And it may be for you two to get together that you actually have to work together. Mm-hmm. And so each relationship, and when it comes to money management, will look different. My grandmother and grandfather, they had a relationship when it came to money management. My grandfather worked construction for years, but my grandmother was the banker. She managed the money. She made sure the bills was paid. Now, she did what we used to call some day work, when she would clean up Caucasians' home. But they didn't pay very much money at that time. And that money that she got, that was like pretty much her own personal money. But my grandfather, we called him Daddy. Daddy was the one that took care of everything. But she's the one that managed the money. And there was always money available. I never forget, once my grandfather, car went out, he wanted to buy a truck. And he didn't know. He didn't even know how much money they had. And I remember him going to his wife. He always called her baby, and she called him and said, baby, you know, I really want to buy a truck. I don't know, can we afford it? He asked her, could we afford it, buying a truck? I remember, as a boy, listening to that, she said, well, we can sit down and talk about it, and I'll tell you how much money we got. And she was good at doing that, you see. Mm-hmm. So, but in another scenario, that might not be the case. But you have to decide what is best for the two of you and who's going to do what. You main thing is that you cannot assume. You don't assume anything. Just because that person is a Muslim, just because that person has taken the Shahadatain like you have, that doesn't mean that they are in good financial shape. They could be in bad financial shape. It has nothing to do with being a Muslim. Maybe you made some bad decisions, or maybe you had more outcome than you had income. Maybe you filed for bankruptcy, you know. All of these different things that could have happened. But remember, sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency, you see. And that person should know. And if that is really a deal breaker at that point, that person needs to, look, I'm not trying to get in any more debt. And if it comes to the point where it says, you know what, then whatever that debt is before marriage, I accept that. Now, we talk about contracts, that if that is and those two people really want to be together and that person is not asking this future mate to come into their life and to assume that debt, then that is have to be something that is put into the contract when it is notarized. Mm-hmm. All of these things, I'm saying these things because I've seen different scenarios throughout my life. And a lot of times there was a problem and an issue because there was either one or both just was assuming things. And they think that the religion covers them in that regard. No, you have to have communication. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the recipient of the Quran, Allah says that anything of importance, it has to be put in writing. Put in writing. And for the protection of that, it should be notarized where you have something to stand on. It just can't be your word against their word. Other than that, you may wind up having problems when you say you do, and then you realize you don't. I think I said enough, Quran. Give it back to you.
You did say a mouthful, and one thing that you said, as you mentioned, people assuming what someone has, I also want to say, sometimes we'll look at someone and think because they wear nice clothes or nice shoes or drive a nice car that they've got money.
Yes.
So you still need to ask these questions because what's on paper is very different. They might be driving a big car and a big debt. And so you want to be aware.
That's true.
Yeah, so I just think that's very important because we fall short and you get into it and you'll say, I thought you had. But if you, like you said, communicate, have that conversation about
right.
what you really do have and what you don't have. Also, I think when you're looking at what a person has and don't have and you start to understand how they got in their situation, whether they have or don't have, it tells you a lot about experiences that they've had also. And so you're weighing these things, you're gathering facts and, you know, just keep looking at those kinds of things. The next question, if we're ready for, if no one from the audience has a question or a comment about that first question about the current financial condition, we're going to move to the second question relative to money management, and no one has raised their hand. All right, the second question.
Okay, good. And we want to, Karen and I, we want to really encourage you, you know, because what you're hearing, if you have a question, don't hesitate, don't deliberate, don't procrastinate, raise your hand. Press 1. You can ask the question because when you ask the question, trust me, there's somebody else that you're going to be helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have something that you have experienced that have worked out for you, Grant and I would love for you to share that because that can be a benefit to all that listen. So I just wanted to say that. So you can go to the next question. We don't have any hands here.
We don't right now. And just a reminder to those who are listening in the studio and on air, please visit our Facebook page, Bring It to the Lab, and our Instagram page, Bring It to the Lab, and you will find the questionnaire there. You can click the link, and it will take you to the questionnaire, and you can follow along with us. It's right there on our social media. So the second question is, what is your current living situation. And under that, that living situation, are you a homeowner? Are you renting? Are you living with a second party like your parents or a roommate? So that tells you a lot about that person also. What is your current living situation? One of the things, like, if you are considering someone who lives in California and you live in Georgia, I'm giving those two extremes, because living in California costs almost double or triple what it costs in Georgia, even though Georgia is on a rise, a major rise. But you can still get more for your buck. And so to consider those things, that may be what you're looking at, is that living situation. Are they in a condition where they can uproot and move? Or would they want to keep their home if they're buying their home and move? Or would they want you to move to where they are? And, you know, all of that's to be considered. So that question, what is your current living situation? That's question number two under money management.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a very important one, too. And I know we're not going to spend a lot of time on some of these things because I think some of them are self-explanatory, what Grant said. But we are finding that this is more commonplace now, where you have relationships, potential relationships in terms of marriage with someone that does not live in your own locale. So all the things that Grant said, you understand, they come into play. They become a factor. They really become a factor. It is something that you have to consider because wherever it is that you live, it's going to cost a certain amount of money. It's like what Grant was using in terms of the state of California. Is perhaps if in the top two or three places most costly live, I would say easy. Outside of maybe, say, New York, then if you go out on the West Coast, especially the big cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco, those, or even the state of California, you're talking about very expensive cost of living that you have to take in consideration. And, of course, Georgia, especially Atlanta, is considered the jewel of the South. What are we saying here? Especially Atlanta is looked upon like the New York City of the South. So oftentimes you'll see when people will relocate to a state like Georgia that is constantly growing, they'll live on the outskirts or, you know, in other municipalities, but not in Atlanta proper. You find a lot of that going on or happening too. So all of those things, you understand, you take in consideration when you're talking about money management. And then is it affordable? Is it actually affordable? How much money do you really have in terms of that? It's affordable. And I think something else you said, Karan, that can't be underscored. As an individual, you are managing, if you are unmarried, you are managing your own money. How good have you been in terms of managing your own money? It's just like Karan said, you know, the expensive car, expensive clothes, you may be carrying an expensive debt with you. What is it you've done with money for 25 or 30 years? You're 50, 55, 60 years of age, but you have absolutely nothing saved, or you have absolutely nothing to show for that. You know, all of the things that are so very, very important, or you know, Allah talks about in the Quran, he talks about the spendthrift, and then Allah talks about the miser. I'm just only just bringing these things to the forefront because, as I said earlier, we use El Quran in terms of what it is that we teach. And we just most recently read the Quran from El Fatiha to El Nas. So sometimes we read, overlook things that are said in the Quran, but Allah identifies every type of person you understand, that you would ever meet in this life or the future life in terms of human beings in this realm of life. And so you'll find people that are spendthrift, that fall in that category. You'll find people frugal. You'll find people that are misers, you understand? And so then you ask yourself the question, how would that relationship look like?
Mm-hmm.
Spend gets with a miser. You're going to have some conflict there. And one wants to spend up everything, whatever they see. They might be impulsive buyers or what. And you may have a money management. Is that going to come out of the same account? Or is it going to come out of one of your accounts? I'm only just bringing these things up because obviously that relationship is going to look different depending on the two people involved. So we can keep moving with this, Karan, as you go through.
Yeah, and I think that statement that you just made goes to the next question. I also think it goes to what you mentioned about your grandparents, Baby and Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? Yeah. What you mentioned about them, and that is, how will money matters be handled?
Mm-hmm.
So if one is a spendthrift and one is a miser, then you want to talk about how will that money be handled. And you have three subsequent questions under how will money be handled. One is, who will be responsible for the household expenses? Two would be, who will be responsible for major household purchases, like a house and all that? Will it be both of you? Will it be one of you? How will that be done? And then the third one is understanding your personal financial goals versus your joint financial goals. So you can have personal goals and you can have joint goals. So which have priority would then be the question. If someone says, like you said, your grandfather said, I need a new car versus we need to buy a house now. So you have to look at all of that, and those are discussions to have. So that third question is, how will money matters be handled? And I think that's a very important one, because I've had young people say to me, should we get a joint account or not? And it is up to that couple, but you do need to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, Karan, now it always has been my position, and this is what I think would be good to consider. Not saying this is my personal opinion. Don't have anything from the Quran in terms of support for that, other than the fact that it's important that we actually, the person that it is that you're entertaining the idea of that person being your mate, as I talk about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of being trustworthy. But just think about, if, in fact, that you actually consider marrying somebody that you didn't trust.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that, you know, the most important, the valued thing that you had materially, that you should be able to trust that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you think about transitioning, and all of us are transitioning at some point in time, then obviously, to carry out your last will, a testament and all, that you would think that your mate you could trust that actually would carry out your last rites in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about it. But even while you're living in that regard. So this is very, very important in terms of actually think. So I think that for me, the importance would be is that you can have your individual account, both the husband and the wife, because just think about it. What if you just personally want to do something, maybe do something for each other, anniversary gift, where you – she may get you something. You may get her something. Birthday. I'm just using examples. Mother's Day, Father's Day. You see? or you just want to do something just because. Well, you have that personal account to be able to do that. And as I said earlier, I think it's good to start, have a starting point, maybe what it is that you accumulated. You may have, that may be a set aside for your children or your grandchildren or what. You know, that's a set aside. So that can't, wouldn't be factored into this is income or potential money that would be spent in terms of that marriage. You have to sit down and talk about that. But the other part of that, the balance is, I think it's always good when you know that you can trust your mate and you two can sit down and have a joint account. Mm-hmm. A joint account. I thought it was so important because you could sit down and you could talk about what that joint account, what the objectivity of having a joint account. Do you like to travel? Do you like to go to conferences and conventions? You want to take a vacation? Or what? Want to make Hajj? Think about this now. I'm just giving some examples. Well, you could actually have a joint account and maybe the both of you contribute to that joint account. And you have an agreement. Now, once again, if the trust is a factor, you put it in writing, once again. See, the beautiful thing about Al-Islam, see, it's not only what you say, but it's also what it is that you plan on doing. And if you are sincere in your words and you're honest with your words, you should have no problem. See, one day we all have on here Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Quran, and I, we will talk about in depth the importance of the marriage contract.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage contract, how important that is. Whatever you deem is very, very important, and to make sure, to ensure that those things happen, both of y'all have to sign off on it. To sign off on it. You know, so then you have even, you understand, with notarization and everything, you have something that could be taken to a court of law. We don't want to have to be thinking about that going there. But if, in fact, that's very important to you, then I say just like Allah says, reduce it to writing. Reduce
yes,
it to writing.
Indeed.
But I think it's important in the relationship to be able to have something joint as Mr. and Mrs., you know, in terms of a trust. And it also, there's a purpose for what it is that you establish an account for. And you can still have your own individual account. That is what it is that I personally would recommend, but that's my personal recommendation because mm-hmm. if you're going to be married, your life should look different than it was when you were alone by yourself. Back to you, Karan.
Yes, and it would definitely be your decision, so I just want to reiterate.
Yeah,
that
it's definitely your decision. That's just a personal. That's just a personal opinion because I think that when you're talking about building relationship, we have to look at those qualities and those principles that mm-hmm. we want to have in the relationship.
Yeah.
So it, we say that even when it comes to love, that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb of love, in which love is actually grown and develop. But if you want to have in terms of actually trust, then you have to have some things in terms of that you are entrusting your mate and they're entrusting you. And so, I mean, there you go. I mean, I would want to trust with anything I have. In my absence or what, and know that she's going to do that. I mean, just think about it. And then vice versa. So this is a conversation you have to have. And if you come up with, say, you know what, you have your money and I have my money. We ain't going to have no joint account together. But the ones that are able to do that and have done it successfully, they'll be able to tell you, I know. That man will say, I know I can trust that woman. That woman will say, I know I can trust that man. Based on what they have done in the sacred institution of marriage. Just think about that.
Yeah.
It's something that's full for
one of the things, some research that I found recently
showed, and this is along the lines of what you're saying, it showed that 96% of couples that made agreements and plans together, 96% of them had happier marriages versus those who made individual decisions. Only 47% of them were happy in their marriage. That's some good information to know.
Ooh, Karen, I didn't have no idea that if I was a guessing man, I would have perhaps guessed wrong. I didn't know there was such a big disparity there.
Yes.
That's important information. That 90%. Mm. Wow.
Yes,
so they study everything.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's important when we're looking at how we do things in our relationship. You know, what decisions are we making together, and what decisions are we making alone as individuals? You know,
mm-hmm.
as Mark said, you're coming together as a pair, as a unit. And so if you're coming together as a unit, then you begin to do more things in unison. And I think it's important to note that doing those things together, making those important decisions together, whether it is to have an account together or not, making that decision together brings more joy in your relationship than just doing everything in isolation. So I think
And you know what?
Important.
True that, because, Karan, what you're saying is so profound in unison. You know, you want to bond. And this is another word that I like to use. You want to be, this is an acronym, so it's a gold nugget. If you can use it, sisters, put it in your purse. Brothers, put it in your pocket. And if you can't use it, throw it in the trash can. This is a gold nugget that I'm going to give to you. Bond and bonding. Build on natural development in nurturing growth in your relationship. Build on natural development in nurturing growth. Let me give you a little explanation of how Allah blessed me with this. You see, when you're bonding, there's a natural growth that takes place. The more that you have as interaction between husband and wife, so we're talking about money management here. Okay, so for some people, you understand, some people may, as my grandmother used to tell me all the time, she says, babe, this is old wisdom coming from a woman that had a fifth grade education in the Mississippi school. She said, I don't have a lot of education, but I got a lot of mother wit. And I bear witness, I'm working on putting together a pamphlet of all the, what I call the wow of my family, the wow, W-O-W, the words of wisdom of my family. And my grandmother perhaps had more words of wisdom's impact on my thinking. She used to say, baby, remember, you make money. Don't let money make you. That's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You make money. Don't let money make you. So we know that when people allow money to make them, we can just start a whole list of those things in terms of what money has made people into. You see, but when you have Al-Islam as a foundation, Allah says in the Quran that all human beings behave according to their own disposition. So Karan and I, we're talking about money management. What is your disposition? See, this is a question. Now, this is not on the premarital questionnaire. But I would dare say you could put it, you could just ask that as a general question, and that would tell you a lot about the person.
Yeah.
What's your disposition when it comes to money? Let's ask them. And be like Mary Wells, beat them to the punch. So they have to answer the question first. You beat them to the punch in terms of asking that question. What's your disposition when it comes to that? So then that gives you, Allah says in the Quran, that every human being behaves. So we see behavior is connected to disposition. So if they answer with sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency, then you pretty much can get an idea how they're going to behave when it comes to money, how they're going to conduct themselves mm-hmm. when it comes to money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I just wanted to say that because, once again, you use the Quran. You use what it is Allah says in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those things can be applicable in our relationship. You know, you
mm-hmm.
want to know the position that that person going to have because that's going to tell you something about their behavior. They're going to tell you
mm-hmm.
a whole lot how they see money. They may love money more than they love Allah. And Allah, as I already said, he gonna test you with what it is. He already know what we love. See, he's Al-Aleem. Al-Aleem, that's one of the attributes of Allah. He's all-knowing. Al-Basir, the all-seeing. As-Sami, the all-hearing. You see, so what I'm saying is that could be a test. Your money could be a test for you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali. He was being interviewed years and years and years ago. And the interviewer was concerned about him ending up like, maybe say, many heavyweights that preceded him. At one time, the heavyweight
mm-hmm.
division, they made more money than the other weight divisions. People wanted to see heavyweight championships fight. And many of the heavyweights, and especially the African-Americans, they ended up broke with no money. So she asked the question to Muhammad Ali, Ali, aren't you concerned about being so generous with your money that you will end up like many boxers when your career as a professional boxer in that you won't have little or no money? And he responded, as Ali, you would expect him to respond. At that time, he was vibrant and very youthful and everything. He said, well, I tell you, he said, I fear Allah. That Allah is the one that blessed me with this. And I have an obligation to help people that need help. This is my task. And I have the answer to Allah if I don't help people. So, no, I'm not worried about money. Allah has blessed me to make plenty of money. I'm paraphrasing. But if you knew the champ, you know that's the kind of person he was. He was very, very, very generous. He used to carry money around in his pocket. If somebody said they needed help, he'd just reach in his pocket. And even his ex-wife would even attest to that. His children would attest to that. This is the type of champ. This is the type of heavyweight champion and champion of people that he was. You know. So what I'm saying is, when you understand the religion, when you really understand the religion, Allah tells us in the Quran. This is not Mark Shaheed saying. I'm just telling you what Allah says in the Quran. That's why Imam Muhammad said God says. So don't argue with me. If you want to argue, you argue with Allah, you'd be a fool. Allah says he not only tests us in adversity, but Allah says he tests us also in prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, for the believer, it is all good. If Allah bless you with something of good fortune, then you learn gratitude. And then he said, if Allah brings some adversity in your life, then you learn patience. It's a lot I can say about that, but just look at the wisdom here. Look at what Allah is bringing to us in the Quran, as this may be your test. Sometimes you want, I wish I could be that. If I had this, you know, maybe that's why you don't have that, because Allah already knows you ain't going to do the right thing with it, you see. But
well, let's
Muhammad
go to
Ali,
our listening audience.
Yes, go to our callers. And do we have some in the queue? Okay, let's go to
them. Yes, we do. And I just want to remind all of our listening audience, if you are in the studio, you can push 1 if you have a question or a comment, and we will definitely bring you into the queue. If you're listening online, we invite you to call into the studio at 714-816-4673, and we will bring you on. And now we will go to one of our listeners, 912-925. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to hold my name out for right now. But
okay, you can stay anonymous. Alaikum assalam to you. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, thank you for calling in. You have a question or comment you'd like to make?
Well, firstly a comment. I think the information that you're assimilating is so wonderful, especially for persons that are younger, younger couples who haven't, who aren't quite established, either in their marriage or either financially, to be able to, take those gems that you're giving to them, giving out and use it as a way to build, their families and relationship, because it is so crucial, so vital. Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to be married for 30 plus years before my husband transitioned. So it's been about five years now since he's transitioned. But before that, we were married, and with a growing family, we had that partnership, understanding of coming together financially, making decisions together financially. When it came to major items, we both at some throughout the marriage handled the finances with paying the bills, but it worked out, and we were able to establish security, financial security, by working together. And it is very crucial, when you see young persons nowadays and talking with them, if one partner is going in one direction or doesn't quite understand the dynamics of working together, it can really have an impact on the family. And that is very, very crucial. And, I think the information that you're giving out is very, very, very vital and crucial.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Well, we thank you, Karen. We thank you for just calling in and just sharing that. Those are the type of comments we like to hear, because you actually experienced that in your relationship with your husband, Rahim Allah, and who you actually experienced it. So you actually know, as a living witness, that it can work with the right mate, and actually something that you said, very important, my beloved sister, is this, and I haven't said it tonight, but I have said it maybe see years and years ago, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it's a misnomer that some believers think that Amrahum Shura Bainahum is just only for conducting affairs in community life. No. Shura Bainahum is supposed to be utilized in marriage life too. Allah says conduct all of your affairs through mutual consultation. We're not looking at affairs like Western society, obviously. You say affair, oh, that's a negative. You had an affair. No. All relationships are affair.
Right.
Business relationship, that's a business affair. Neighbor relationships, that's a neighbor affair. When you're talking about have a some type of community watch where you have a neighborhood association and neighbors come together and meet, like in my brother's neighborhood, he helped establish that, where they had security lights and any other things in terms of maybe, say, invasion of people that didn't live in the neighborhood. They were concerned about their neighborhood. So we're talking about neighborhood affairs. It's a relationship that you have with other people. And this is so very important when it is that you are engaged in the sacred institution of marriage, like you and your husband was, that you would sit down and you would consult with each other, not just one individually making a decision on their own. They just decided. And my grandfather never would have just decided, oh, I need this truck. And my grandmother said, well, you know what? We've been renting ever since we've been married. And they eventually bought a house, but they bought a house late in their life. You see, but just like the scenario that Karan painted, you understand, which is a real scenario. And this is a scenario not only for young people. Sometimes this is a scenario for middle age or our seniors. In terms of, but whatever it is, Shura Bainahom should be utilized and exercised. This is what Allah says. This is not what Mark Shahid, this is not what Karan Shakir said. This is what Allah says. He said, conduct all of your affairs through mutual consultation. And guess what? The prerequisites for mutual consultation is mutual respect. Mutual respect. You disrespect the other member of that team when you just arbitrarily just do something on your own. I ain't gonna tell her I'm the man of the house. You might be a man by yourself after you started doing all those things by yourself, and then she might say you need to be by yourself. I'm not saying it for humor, but I'm saying it because it's real, because when we don't try to become practitioners of the Quran, this is when we get ourselves in trouble. I could say more, but I think I said enough. Thank you so much, Sister Anonymous, for calling in. And we ask you to keep on listening.
I have a question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Just, well, kind of a, and I'm not saying I don't listen. I'm not able to listen every week. So I don't know
if
something like this has been, you know, some things that I'm about, what I'm about to maybe say is, has been covered. But for, and I'm not quite certain, I'm opening myself up for, you know, maybe going
yes,
in that
ma'am.
Direction again.
Yes,
but at
ma'am.
The same time, there's still a closeness that I have. Just because of just so much, many things that would, you know, I would have to deal with. I don't have, you know, small children. My, you know, children are, you know, young adults with their own family, so that's not necessarily an issue. But just being, established somewhat, you know, independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you kind of alluded to, you know, like financially, and it's not a brag, but financially stable,
mm-hmm.
you know, secure, you know, in what it is that I'm doing, or you know, in my
mm-hmm.
where I am right now, just dealing with that, and then the possibility of just, to be honest with you, there's where my area right now, my immediate area, there's no one that I can see that I would want to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
A partner with.
Yes.
So if there's someone, say, in another state, another region,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being able to deal with all of those aspect of things, you know, rather not, I would move, he would move, you know, how we would maneuver
mm-hmm.
those things.
Yes.
And I don't know if, you know, if those things have ever been talked about, especially like for, you know, and I'm thinking for older adults, and, you know, maybe
yes.
younger persons
mm-hmm.
won't have those type of issues because if they're not quite established, you know, or, you know, they're
yeah.
young and established, if, you know, they don't have families and
mm-hmm.
That connection, but just being able to, just all of those things kind of
yeah.
go into play.
Mm-hmm.
With, rather not, that is a pursuit that I want to, you know, kind of delve into full heart at least. So, I don't know if that is
yeah,
that
yeah.
Is
this is your first, I take it this is your first time listening. I think Karan, you know, somewhat touched up on it, and we could talk about it a little bit more because this is a real social dynamic, and especially for those who may be older, middle age or up in age. I don't want to say old. That's not such a good word for people that are maturing,
right.
you know, in that regard. But like you say, you've been very explicit that some of those things you've crossed some of those bridges already in your life and all. So there's other social dynamics that actually would come into play for you at the age and stage where you are in your life. So we can talk about that a little bit more and all. And so this is why we invite those who listen to call in and ask those type of questions, whether they're just general questions or they're specific questions, because other people will benefit from it too, as there will be a different social dynamic for people in different age groups. And what their main concerns and interests would be if, in fact, that they have to considering to make a major move in their life. So we can talk about it a little bit more.
Statement, sister. And I'm wondering, and thank you so much for that, because that's definitely what Fred Mike said, that there would be others similar to that. And I had people who approached me to say, is this worth my listening to, because I'm at this state of my life and I don't need to waste my time on conversations that are of benefit to me. So I totally understand. So my question then, or statement to you, would be going back to what we said originally, where you did that inward check. And when you do your inward check, you're going to note the things you just noted. You're going to note that. And from that, what you do then is design, this is what I call it, design your ideal mate. And, you know, what would you be looking for? And then once you're on this quest for that person, you know, whether it is someone who is also established or someone within your city or state or someone who could assist you with, if you had to move, with doing ABC, you have to come to a conclusion about what you are looking for. Once you understand what you're looking for and you write those things down and you begin that quest, believe me, our brother Rumi said, what you're looking for is looking for you. And what Allah tells us was meant for you will not pass you by. And whatever passes you by wasn't meant for you. And so if it is that there is someone that you should have or need to have, Allah's going to send them to you. But you have to be real clear on what you're looking for so that it's not just in the clouds and whoever comes is like, oh, let me do my assessment now. You already have a checklist, you know, before you get to a certain phase of that relationship. You can look and say, okay, they have their money in order. They have ABC. That's why we're doing these questions. So I know you said they were for younger people, but put on your glasses to see how would these same questions benefit me and what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, Corinne, I'm glad you said that because in the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, you know, that was you make a checklist. Make a checklist. Mm-hmm. And then you check, just like what Corinne is telling you in terms of assessing yourself and where you are in life. You know, as you just acknowledge, okay, nobody, I see my own locale. Let's talk about idealistic, and let's talk about realistic. Idealistic, anybody in their right mind would want to be able to find a mate in their own locale. Why? There's numerous reasons, but I'm going to just state some of the obvious ones. It's a lot easier to be able to get to know that person in the courtship phase to decide whether or not, in fact, there can be a partnership. You see, you get an opportunity to see each other in terms of community functions or what, you know, a public, being in the public and all, maybe going out to dinner or something of that nature. And you get opportunity to see them in different settings and all family settings and all of these type of things. So there's some distinct advantages in that regard. And oftentimes we talk about idealistically, they go to the same masjid, the Islamic center that you go to. You see, we talk about idealistic. Okay.
Right.
For a lot of people now, that's not idealistic. And I'm hearing it more and more and more and more. I haven't seen to find any, especially with sisters, any brothers, you understand, that really I would have an interest in, because it goes back to what Karen is saying in terms of making your checklist. And there's other information that we have given in regards to that, because I've said repeatedly, whatever your checklist is, when it comes to qualities, when you're assessing yourself, I want an intelligent man. I'm just using this example. Mm-hmm. But then that means you have to be an intelligent woman. Right. You know, I want a kind man, so that means you have to be a kind woman. I want a loving man, then that means you have to be a loving. What am I saying? Because there are laws that most people don't know in terms of relationship. One of those laws is called the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity. I'm going to give you a jewel here. Realize reciprocity. It's an acronym for reciprocity. Realize each conscious initiative performed. Return other conscious initiative to you. Well, you know, realize the conscious initiative that's performed for me and return other conscious initiative to you. And that give and take in the relationship. Everybody's looking for somebody good. They're looking for good qualities in that person. Now, there may be some distinct things that you're looking for that are not so much related to qualities. But if, in fact, that your list have qualities on it, the first thing is to look, as Karan said, inside to see if, in fact, that you have those qualities and that you're not being unrealistic in terms of what it is that you put down. And then you have to decide how far you're willing to go for that right person, you understand, when you do your checklist. First, the checklist is the checklist that you make in terms of qualities and characteristics. You want to check them off for yourself. I am everything. I am the person that I'm looking to meet. I am the person I'm looking to meet, because that will be the commonality. Because Allah says in the Quran, He has made from among yourselves mates of like nature. It's not like other sciences. Some people want to say unlike attracts. No, we're not dealing with magnets and all that. We're dealing with human beings. So you want to have the commonality. So once you do that honestly, then you can assess yourself in terms of how far you be willing to go. Or if there's a compromise with that potential mate in that regard. That's your starting point. It's very, very simple. I mean, it seems complex, but it's very, very simple. Because for some people, it's going to be different. For other people, it's going to be something else. And then what I've found is one of the stalemates for actually older or elders or seniors in this community, you put the age in terms of where you see yourself as a senior in making the decision. I'm not saying you're in that realm. I'm not going to even ask you in terms of your age. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
But if, in fact, one of the stalemates is, they got to move here. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes like, if that potential mate, you're female, he might be like, I got everything you need here. So it can become a stalemate there. But
right.
If, in fact, that it is that what it is, like Quran says, that Allah bless you with that person, you might want to reconsider.
Yeah.
That's a possibility, you see, in that regard. So this is a social dynamic that, obviously, like you say, that maybe young people would not be confronted because they're just starting their life out in terms of even trying to establish themselves. So it can be easier for them to pick up and to move here. That, matter of fact, we got a brother that here in the STL, which is St. Louis, is moving to the ATL there where Karan is, because he found a sister there and everything, made a connection. As a matter of fact, I think they're getting married there. I don't like to say married. They're gonna have a wedding ceremony, because actually, the marriage should have already taken place, and the ceremony is an indication that there is a unison, there is a relativeness, there is a connectedness, that a marriage has been formed between those two. I think it's the early part of July. I just received the invitation about a week or two ago on my internet in terms of inviting me. So I may be in the ATL the early part of July. I think it's July the 8th or the 9th. I don't know which. We have to find out. So I may be traveling to Atlanta. But this is something where he could easily, because he's only 27 years old, and I think he might be 24, 25 or something like that. So, but it's easier for a person that haven't established their life. But when you establish your life, and like, you know, you said you've been married for 30 years or what, and have establishment, then you, there's more things that you have to take in consideration. But that's a good place to start. So hopefully what Corinne gave was helpful to you in terms of thinking about that, because nobody can make that decision but you.
Right.
With a lot of help. With a lot of help. So always, always, we said this, and I know it's your first time here, but what we also said here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, something that I learned from Imam Muhammad, and you'll find it in Islamic Climate for Business Success. Islamic Climate for Business Success. When the Imam said that if you want to have a successful business, make Allah a partner in the business. A hint to the wise is sufficient. So if you want to have a successful relationship, make Allah a partner in it. But I'm adding something to that. Make Allah the managing partner in the relationship. Then you can have that success. Thank you, sister. May Allah continue to bless you.
Yeah, just for the record, I have listened before. I have this, so it's not my first time listening.
Oh, okay.
I have listened before, just not every week, but I have listened before on more than one occasion.
We appreciate having you as one of our dedicated listeners.
And yes, I enjoy it.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for the information. It's you know, it's just good to kind of be able to bounce things off and get the feedback and just kind of get that knowledge, you know, just to kind of, you know, help you kind of edge you on a little bit. So thank you all so much, and continue the good work that Allah has is continuing to bless you all with. Alhamdulillah. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to welcome another caller to the air, and that is 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamualaikum. This is Tawana.
Assalamualaikum.
How are you, dear listener?
This is Tawana. I'm really good to hear your voice.
You said something that was so deep. Whenever I write anything down, I always put in the name of Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
No matter what I'm writing. But you said something that was so, so deep, because I wrote a list of things that I would love to have in a mate, and I gave that to my Wali.
Alhamdulillah.
But I never thought about, oh, Allahu Akbar, because, see, you said everything, I am everything I want you to be.
That's
so deep.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belong to Allah, Sister Tawanda. You know, because, you know, I think that when you're working in this arena like Quran and I are working in as servants, Allah will guide you in terms of the insight of what it is that you really have to do, and then you just share it with others that are listening. And then when persons like yourself call in and a sister call in and is resonating with what it is the Quran and myself is saying, we just defer the praise and thanks to Allah, because we are just mediums that Allah uses in terms of conveying the right information. This, you know, the sacred institution of marriage, this don't belong to us. this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. The same, whatever it is Allah has created and whatever it is that Allah has established, He is the owner of that. We are to try to uncover and discover the purpose for the establishment of that. And we have to realize that Allah knows best. Sometimes we get it our own way. We get it our own way because we want it to be like this, we want it to be like that, and they have to be like this, and they have to be like that. And some of us are dreamers that never woke up. We're dreamers that never woke up. And we're still dreaming. You understand? And sometimes I think we watch too many movies, you know, and it only happens in the movies, but in real life, we're not dealing truly with reality. Allah brings us to dealing with al-haq, the truth, the reality. And then so when you're working in that arena, Allah will bless you to be able to see more and more and more. And so we're just thankful and grateful to Allah. And we give the praise and thanks to Allah. We don't deserve it. Allah uses us in that regard. And so we say, alhamdulillah.
I just wrote what you just said down, too, because that was beautiful. A dreamer that never woke up. This is beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, man. Well, there's a lot of people like that out there, Tawanda. You probably know some of those type of persons, and sometimes we may have them in our family. They could be our friends. They could be our neighbors, associates. They could be community members. They're dreamers that never really woke up. And Imam Muhammad said something very profound. And I always repeat that, not as a parrot, because I understand what it is the man was saying when he said it. He said that the Muslim life is the conscious life. See, when you're dreaming, when you think about dreaming, you're in an unconscious state, But when you probably went to bed that night, it was something that was so strong on your conscious. You understand, that even while you slept, you understand, in your unconscious state, then oftentimes the person is able to realize what it was that was in the dream, and all. Sometimes they wake up. Now, if you wake up startled, that wasn't a dream. That was a nightmare. So sometimes people call a nightmare a dream, but it's a difference. So when you can take the dream or something that you want to happen and make it a goal, that becomes a goal is a dream with a deadline. Mm-hmm. Remember that. I'm going to say it again. A goal is a dream with a deadline. Some people never wake up to the reality of what it is that they have to do to accomplish, to make that dream come true. There's work, Allah says in the Quran, that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. You have to consciously strive for whatever it is, and that indicates that there is a goal that they have in their life. And then Allah says in the next verse, and soon it will be made manifest. So we want the manifestation. We want the realization. You understand? Then the utilization of Allah's word of revelation should become manifest in our life by actually putting forth the work, the effort. The striving is work, is effort that we, it is that we have to make toward that. And then Allah will help us. I remember years ago being in the Baptist church growing up as a boy, and I remember the pastor, Reverend E.B. Hardy, as a boy sitting there. And he said something so very profound, I never forgot it. He said, God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that, God gives every bird his food, but he don't throw it in the nest. He gives every squirrel his nuts, but he don't crack them. I can keep going with this. So in other words, you said it's something that you have to do something. Allah has given us potential as human beings that we have to do something. We have to strive. We have to work for it. No special deliveries. No FedEx. Oh, I just delivered your mate. I just delivered your mate. Special delivery So there's some work, there's some effort, there's some striving that we have to do. And when we consciously strive for that, then Allah says it will be made manifest. So we have to have patience and steadfastness and perseverance in what it is that we pursue. Thank you so much, my dear sister. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you. This was weird because I was in the kitchen cooking, and I said, "Oh, I gotta go get on the marriage lab." When I checked the time, I said, "Oh, I done missed a whole hour." Believe it or not, this helps me because now today this is profound. I was supposed to hear this.
Alhamdulillah.
This is coming right.
And always, when you miss that first hour, you can always go back and listen to it.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Sister Tawanda, push one on your phone as you come out of the queue. And those of you who are listening, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. We are right here on IWDM Radio, and this week and the previous weeks, we've been talking about the pre-marriage questionnaire. If you are interested in getting that questionnaire, you can go to our Facebook or Instagram page, bring it to the lab, and we have a link to the questionnaires right there for you. And if you want to email us to get it, it'll be a little slower, but you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And we will send that to you, inshallah. And if you have a question or a comment, we do invite you to push one on your phone. And in our last few minutes, I do want us to get through these last three questions, although all of us won't necessarily sound long, but we want you to hear what they are because this is on money management. And like I said earlier, money is sometimes an issue we try to stray away from, but let's go toward it, so that we can have stronger marriages and deal with these situations in our marriages. So the next question under money management has to do with that past that our sister was mentioning. You know, she's established herself, but what if she meets a brother who, because, you know, men, even as they get older, they may have children even in their older age. So what if she has a brother who is not married anymore and he is now paying child support? That's a question. Do you pay child support? Do you have that obligation? And if you do, how soon before you don't have that obligation, how much do you have to pay and how often are you required to pay? And for me, just that kind of question says a lot about integrity. When we talked earlier about those four things you need to see, this says a lot about integrity because sometimes you'll meet people who don't pay child support that should be paying child support. You know, that may be a thing like, I don't know, he doesn't take care of his responsibilities, or he's good at taking care of his responsibilities. You know, so you can go either way with that. But that question is very important. Don't shy away from it. You know, get that answer. And, you know, if you have children and they are minors, then you should be taking care of them. I going to try to get through this. I once met a brother who he divorced his wife. And his wife was established in her career. And so when he went to the judge, he was seeking child support for the children, even though they would have visitation, right? And he said to the judge, this says about integrity, he said to the judge that she had taken a luxury trip so she could afford to pay child support. Pay attention, everybody. That luxury trip that he claimed she took was Hajj. She had made Hajj, and he called it a luxury trip talking to the judge. And I'm just saying, what does that say to you, to the next wife, about his integrity? He is asking for money and then also using a sacred pillar as a luxury trip. So that question is important.
Yeah. There was no integrity there, Quran, obviously, because those that have made Hajj, they can attest, they probably shaking their head. It is not a luxury trip, you know, and you don't look at it like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you shared that, Grant.
Yeah, but it just tells us. So we weigh information. That's so important to me, is that we're not getting anything and get, you know, side, you know, set by some ideas of idealistic things, you know, and we don't do.
Yeah, right. There you go. And it falls in that category. See, that's why, once again, sincerity, honesty, integrity, transparency,
yes.
You understand,
yes.
Is a prerequisite, because you can take something like that and twist it. You just try to put it in your favor, you know, so that's very insulting and very disrespectful, because Hodge is one of the five pillars and all. And that would have nothing to do with him honoring his responsibility to his children. So we can't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You know. And actually, there's many things in the judicial system that they have learned from this way of life of Al-Islam. You have to tell the truth, and you have to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. No addendums, no deletions, and no withholding of that. In other words, you can't, as the young people say, you can't twist it. You can't twist it, because anybody knows Hodge is not a luxury trip. There is an objective in terms of making Hodge, and it's the last pillar. It is, and there's a reason. One of the reasons is that Hajj encompasses all the other four pillars. Mm-hmm. It encompasses that. You see, and then there's stipulations in terms of making Hajj. You see, so when he said what he said, that he wasn't being honest, he wasn't being a person of integrity, obviously, and so you're trying to get or gain something by fabricating? No. You know, Allah does not like that, and that's not needed nor necessary. So thank you for that. So, Karim, what else do we have? I think we might be able to do this.
Yes, that's a part of the reason we ask these questions, because that would tell you a lot. If you ask the question and he's honest about it, and then later we are going to talk about questions that you ask a former mate of someone, and that may be a part of it where you understand how did they take care of you? How were they in the divorce proceedings, if that's what happened with you? And along the lines of do you pay child support, then, and this is more, I think, leaning toward a brother, a male in this situation, is if your spouse has children from a prior marriage, are you willing to provide financial support to them, or will it be 100% upon your spouse and their ex to do that? And if the ex doesn't provide, what would you do? So, you know, that may be something more so for brothers. And there may be sisters who say, well, a part of our household income can go to help with your children. You know, but I think those kinds of questions need to be asked.
Oh, most definitely, Karan. You know, because it's we're dealing with things realistically. And, you know, after we have done as Allah has said in terms of those steps to try to salvage the relationship, and there are actually steps in the Quran to try to prevent divorce and preserve the union, the sacred institution of marriage and all. Allah gives us specific instructions in terms of how it is that we're supposed to leave the relationship. And if you're the man and you have children that have not been emancipated, they're still dependent. And they still are your responsibility in that regard. And so you have to show that responsibility. So once again, transparency, honesty, integrity actually comes into the foreplay in terms of making that known. And obviously it will affect the income, the usable income for your relationship and for household responsibilities. You see, so this is why that question was a part of that category in terms of asking that, because oftentimes things are just not said. Maybe the person don't lie about it, but when you say you have to tell the truth, the whole truth is nothing but the truth, this question was instilled there so that if, in fact, you see, not only that, in terms of dependent children, you may be helping a family member.
Right.
Or what? You may be helping a family member. And this is money that you have allocated to help that family member. Now, will they continue when you get married? And how much income, how much of your income is being disseminated in that way? You just have to be open. I mean, what else that we can say, Karan? I mean, the transparency, the honesty, integrity, it has to be, you have to be open and honest. It's not like you can't camouflage, cover it up. And now, surprise, I just want you to know, sweetheart, you know, every month I'm giving about $500 away, you know, in terms of helping and assisting my mother, in terms of medication, blah, 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 blah. You see? Now, she should have known that in the courtship phase. Now you form a partnership, you see, but it was not fair to her, but, you know, but I'm going to need a little bit more help from you. We can still make this work. Okay, but why wasn't this discussed in the courtship? I'm just painting a scenario here, but you catch my drift in terms of that. Or it could be vice versa, you know, in that regard.
Right.
He should know, because if you made an agreement, and the agreement was that I'll be able to take care of most of this, but I'm going to need a little bit of help. But then I found out that you have prior commitments. This won't allow you to do that, you know, in that regard. Now this becomes a surprise. Or, you know, sometimes it's referred to as skeletons and everything. So, you know, you don't want to do that. You just want to be honest. And if it's going to be, and Allah is going to bless it to be what it should be, then you got to start out with the right foundation, and that is being a person of honesty, integrity, and transparency. I'll stop there. See if we can get.
And I think that could also, if you have an ex-wife for a brother, and it's, you know, within the 1 year, and you're still providing financial alimony for
alimony.
Yes. So if you are paying alimony, that potential mate should know that you're doing that. And I, on those same lines, I met a brother who talked about how at the when he was talking to the sister before they got married, he told her, yeah, I pay alimony to my ex-wife, and the court mandate of this has long been gone, but I continue to pay her alimony because she needs support. That says a lot about that person's kindness and integrity as well, but it also says to you, I've got a way. Do I want him to continue that? Am I in support of that? And how will I be able to continue that process with them? And I just think all those conversations are important.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that you said that, Karan Shakir. I want to say this, and I can say this about our beloved leader, and that I do know. I know that Imam Muhammad was a very honorable man, and he supported his ex-wives because he knew they needed the help. He did that. See? So it's honorable if, in fact, that you can and be willing to do that as Muhammad did. But as Karan said, I'm glad she brought it up, because I'm not saying I'm putting the icing of the cherry on the cake, but our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, did that. And this is from an Islamic perspective that he did that, and understanding that. But it still is due the right to know by that person that you're seeking marriage with to know and understand that. Because the last thing you want to happen is that she finds out after the vows are taken, then you say that. Sometimes it becomes emotional response. What? You doing what? How come we didn't tell him? in that regard. So it's like the rights that we actually have in the relationship, the right to know those things. And we're talking about money management. It's a serious, serious topic. And that's why I say those two persons, they really, because these questions that, you know, Karen been going over tonight and we've been given some type of commentary on, obviously they'll lead to other questions. They'll just lead to other questions. And so, you know, you don't want to really have a mediator because they could miss something. They said this, like, oh, wait a minute. They didn't say that. They said it like this. So you need to be there, and if you need to bring, like we tell you to come to the lab with your ink, with an open mind, open heart, you really would have to have that. And then you need to have your pen and your pad and need to be taking notes in terms of what's being said. And then when they get through saying what they're saying or explaining something, then you may have a question for them and then vice versa. So you want to be absolutely clear. You want to be very explicit. You want to be very clear as to what they're saying, any other obligations other than the obligation you will have for this sacred institution marriage that we're about to enter into. You haven't entered into it, but you're about to enter into. So that's very important. So, Karen, I think we're moving pretty good, but we got one or two more.
All right, and we're towards the end, so I just want to make some closing comments then about this section about money management and really about the, I call it the fact-finding phase of the relationship where you're getting these facts. So I just want to say to all of you who are not married and you are in this process, when I think about the questionnaire, I'm not thinking you're just sitting on the phone all the time asking questions. I think it's important for us to note some of these questions you're asking as you are observing them in action. And if you are in the same city and state, it makes it easier. And if they come to your city and state, plan activities, outings, where you get to really observe and engage with them. Let's say you go to an art exhibit, or you go to the zoo, or you go out to dinner. That's the time you're walking and asking these questions, and you're also noticing how they interact with people as they are strolling along the way. You're noticing their behaviors toward you, like are they, if it's a brother, are they a gentleman? If it's a sister, is she polite? Is she graceful when she offers her gratitude to you for whatever it is that you may do for her? So you observe these kinds of things. But these questions that you're asking, you don't always just next question. You know, you're not going down a list of questions. I want to be clear with that. You want to make this an easy process to get the information that you want and get it, you know, at the masjid, after masjid, go to the restaurant next door or you know, sit out, like at Atlanta Master, we have these chairs outside. Sit outside in the chairs and sit and talk. But don't always just sit on the phone to ask your questions. I just wanted to make sure that I say that to our listening audience. And then, of course, since we're closing out, I just want to thank all of you for tuning in to being dedicated listeners to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, to IWDM Radio. And we invite you, as we said throughout the program, to join us, be our friends, follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. And feel free to email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. We are here for you and grateful to have you in our community.
Well, yes. Well, I just want to simply say I know I'm thankful and grateful for having you to partner with here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Karan Shakir. And I'm very appreciative of the insight and the wisdom that Almighty God has blessed you with in sharing this platform, but for many years in terms of sharing it with our community. I want to thank the radio listening audience that we had tonight, those that, and especially those who called in with comments or questions, and also our listeners by way of the internet. I want to thank you also, because without you, we couldn't have an IWDM radio or these productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and other productions here on IWDM radio, that wouldn't be possible. So we want to thank you. And we want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Jumu'ah Day in the Muslim world. And if you're immobilized or can't get out and about to your local masajids and Islamic centers across the country, you can tune back in to IWDM radio. It's the same call at number 714-816-4673 for any of the productions. Salatu Jumu'ah with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, each and every Friday. And it begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Each and every Friday, you can get the Kutbah and also the Jumu'ah Salat. And then Sunday is the longest-running production that we have on IWDM Radio, once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. As he always have very intriguing guests. Last week he had the committee for the New Medina retreat. I haven't been down in the last 3 years. Inshallah, we look going next year. But I heard it was very successful. And all these are the type of guests that he have on his show, and of course topics pertinent to us, the community. So please tune in. That happens at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon, Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People, each and every Sunday afternoon. The beginning of the week is with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his recurring guest, Imam, I would say instructor, Abdul Shaheed of Centometry, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You need to bring your pen and pad, different terms, and all in terms of the science of your health and you. It happens every Tuesday, and it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And Wednesday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with my very distinguished and esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. And yours truly, Mark Shaheed, is heard each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Every first Wednesday, I have a special guest facilitator. This past Wednesday, yesterday, it was the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. You've seen him on television. He arrived a little late. I was tempted to give him some time, but I thought better. And he did apologize for being late. So, inshallah, we will invite him back next week as we talk about vision and how important that is instilling that in our children to become a leader. And most certainly, most judges, they have vision. They have to have vision, and it takes vision to make decisions. So we want to look at that a little bit more in-depth next week on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And then following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the MGM Roundtable. As I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community and also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. as I had, I was able to assemble a panel with the Lord's help to have organized here in the STL in East St. Louis, Illinois, organization called BAM. BAM. It's an acronym for the word Be a Mentor. Be a Mentor. There's a lot of great information that was disseminated in this grand set. All of these productions are archived. You can go back and listen to them and all. And the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, each and every Thursday, it is the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. We're here each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And God willing, we'll be continuing on the premarital questionnaire. Next week, we can look forward, and as Quran gave you the information, how you can just obtain it yourself and follow along with us. It was money management. And so, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be dwelling down on interpersonal qualities. Now, this is a category, you know, Quran, that you don't want to miss this. I mean, because this is going to really tell you a lot about that person. So please be here. It's a family affair. Please invite members in your family. You call in, you listen, you benefit. Invite your friends, invite your associates, invite your neighbors, invite your community members. And most of all, invite those who are aspiring to get married. And I also would say those who are in the pubescent stage, in puberty stage, they should be listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and especially when it comes to the premarital questionnaire, because this is an excellent guide in terms of what it is that you should be talking about, the communication, the information you should be gaining in terms of if, in fact, there's going to be a formation in this relationship. So with that being said, I do want you to remember that our beloved sister, Fitcher Muhammad, and inshallah, stay tuned. IWDN Radio, I'll bring you an update on that. It's going to begin back June the 12th and all, and we'll give you the time and some of the topics that study al-Islam. So we do ask that you listen and support that each and every Sunday to return on June the 12th. And last but not least, let's make sure that we support the Muslim journals we do here. Subscribe, get a subscription. If you have a subscription, think about somebody that you could make a gift to and subscribe to the Muslim Journal. Get a subscription for them. Allah will bless you tremendously. So with that being said, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.